My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Nothing is over until we decide it is.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the Big Beer Show.
That was your professional announcer
that
voice.
That was my radio voice.
Why does it sound like Deputy Dog?
Yeah. Oh, it is? I wasn't going to say that.
Keep your day job.
We are having some big beers, and this is following hot on the heels of our barley wine show, which was one of our most enjoyable shows in a long time. But not only because we reached 100, but because it was just damn tasty, good, high gravity. Yep. Good beers.
More barley wine all the time.
That's right.
You know, Dick, you're still glowing. I had
that little flush. Yeah. Well, you know, it had its way with me, and I enjoyed it.
But that was more than a week ago.
I know. Well, what can I tell you? Big beer sticks with you, you know.
You got to love it.
I think you just found the cure for depression.
That's it. Alcohol.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Copious amount.
Hey, don't spread it around. Then everybody will want it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if we get rid of country music, that would get rid of one of the other big
ones. Yeah, that's right. Wipe out a whole genre of music right there. But we got to be careful. There may be no more blues either. And then what we would do? So we would drink more beer. And the beers we're drinking, these are not necessarily more, but they're big. And these are high alcohol. And Rick, you sent something in here. Well, we were asking, well, what's the definition? And according to this, at an event you attended, it's 8% alcohol by volume and up.
That's right, just to qualify for the event. And the event we're talking about was the Big Beer Belgians and Barley Wines 8th anniversary in Vail, Colorado. And what a fantastic thing.
And this was a very well-attended, very large show, not GABF scale, but still good size, right?
Yeah, it was more beer aficionados, though, because it was the bigger beers. It wasn't for the masses. People were frowned upon if they got drunk and disorderly. So,
and that's quite the feat, though, considering you're drinking high-alcohol beers.
Yeah, and everything I touched, everywhere I looked, you know, you turn around and there's an even bigger beer right next to you.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, okay.
Not a depressed person in sight.
Nobody was depressed. Nobody at all.
So how many people would, do you know what the attendance and any of the stats on there, what would you guess?
I would guess there was at least 200 people. It was kind of a smaller facility as far as, you know, a big beer festival. You get used to these huge campground type things. This was in a hotel. It's at the Marriott in Vail. And very well attended by the brewers. There's some of the rock star brewers in attendance. Sam Calgioni from Dogfish Head. Adam Avery from Avery Brewing. Tommy Arthur from Lost Abbey. Peter Bouquet from New Belgium. Will Myers from Cambridge Brewing Company. Jeremy Cohen from Hebrew. Doug Odell from Odell Brewing. Vince and Gina Marsaglia from Port Brewing. Boulder Beer Company was there, their brewer, amongst many, many others. If I didn't list them, it's because I didn't know they were there, or didn't know them.
Well, they would all have a star on the Beer Walk of Fame.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So 200. Well, that's great, because the way when you were like texting me just to piss me off and let me know what you were having that I wasn't. It was just sound like there's just like beers everywhere. Which you say there was, but only 200 or so people. I mean, it's a nice, manageable group, and beer aficionados, man, that's the way to do it right there.
I called him the other day, and he goes, man, I got to let you go. I'm getting ready to go into a seminar?
Right. Well, I attended several seminars. One was a vertical tasting of the Veritas from Lost Abbey, and then there was a food and beer pairing where we tasted chocolates and cheeses and compared them to different beers.
Wow.
And that was moderated by the Brewers Association. And it was really neat because the brewers got up and they introduced the beers and explained why they paired them with a particular food that we were having. So
now you're saying food, but it was chocolate and cheese.
That's food.
Well, yeah, technically it is, but I mean, I guess I'm thinking more of like the dishes, right? Rather than, you know, we've done that before with not so much as different types of cheese, pretty much the same thing with Rendezvous rub on it.
Yeah. But they let us grade it and pick a winner. I did not agree with the winner. It was the Mothership Wit from New Belgium paired with the cheese. My favorite was the Mephistopheles paired with the dark chocolate.
I'd go with you.
Yeah.
I mean, what's a wit and some cheese? Big deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
How common is that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so
the bourgeois.
I was not impressed with that. In retrospect, I probably shouldn't have ended the evening stopping at the Sam Adams booth because I did two samples of Utopias and then Sam Adams triple Bock and the double Bock.
Wow. Uh-huh. How were their bocks?
Just wonderful.
They were bockdacious?
Bockalicious.
Bockalicious. Bockalicious, man.
Hey, let's copyright that word.
There you go. It's bockalicious.
Anyway, I'm going to open my beer and then start drinking and let you guys talk.
Well, what are you drinking?
This is a beer that was sent to us from New Holland Brewing Company in Michigan. And when I was unpacking the boxes from the move, it was just sitting there. I was like, whoa, cool. You know, so apparently it had arrived after I left Tennessee and was packed up and shipped here. So,
man, that's like buried treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should all be enjoying it together. I'm sorry you guys aren't here, but
Beers. We're gonna struggle through with
our
beers too. But you go ahead, pop to the top and tell us what you're drinking.
Quick, okay, what I'm drinking is Moxie Sour Ale from New Holland Brewing Company, celebrating 10 years in beer. It says, in celebration of 10 years in beer, we released 424 hand numbered bottles. My bottle is number 161. Of this special beer, Moxie. Moxie is a sour ale aged more than 10 months in oak and blended to perfection. We sent you this bottle as a token of our appreciation for your efforts in supporting beer, good beer, and, of course, our brewery. On behalf of the entire New Holland family, thanks. We hope you enjoy our work as much as we do. Cheers. Brett Vanderkamp, Fred Bultman, John Haggerty, and Dave White.
Very nice.
Swag. Very nice. I like swag.
There's alcoholic swag, too.
Yeah, can't go wrong there.
Well, that's great. All right, we'll fire it up. Let's see what it sounds like.
Working on it.
Don't grunt
somebody, to me. Somebody know a little limerick or something you can sing?
There once was a man from Nantucket.
Is it a difficult cork?
I hear it.
No, that's plastic band on his waist, on his underwear.
The trust given was.
Okay, no pop.
Oh, how wait.
Oh, you built
so
us up.
So much drama for nothing.
Oh, man. Okay.
I'm glad I didn't get the drum roll out.
That's all right.
It looks like a barley wine, color-wise.
Okay.
It's got about a quarter to... Oh, there's about a half inch to an inch head. A little bit of a sour smell.
Okay.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah, it's got a little bit of sweet sour thing going on.
This one?
I'm liking it. All right. I'm going to sit here and enjoy that.
Okay. So this is the Moxie from New Holland, and I'm like trying to quietly gesture Mike to grab some glasses for our beer because we started off with a Kentucky. I'm going to screw this up from the get-go. This was from Bluegrass Brewing Company in Kentucky, the Jefferson's Reserve Bourbon Barrel Stout. And anybody who listens to this show know we like us some bourbon.
Roll out the bourbon. Roll out the bourbon.
And so Mike brought this back from one of his trips into the wilderness. And this is a little bottle, and we split it through it, but, man, it was good. We got it out and let it warm up a little bit, and so it was cool, not cold, and just a great balance of beer and bourbon, and, man, very tasty. That's right. Rub it on your gums.
Pretty good stuff.
It was
Can
real
I put
good.
Can each of my ears?
And I printed out something. You got the specs on what this guy was.
Oh, I do?
Yeah.
Is that the... I don't have it.
The one that says...
is that the Bluegrass Brewing Company and Imperial Stout?
That would be
stout?
It.
It's not an Imperial Stout.
Oh, that's what it says. It should be the Bourbon Barrel Stout. Uh-uh. Let me see that. Okay, I gave him the wrong damn one. Okay, so we don't have a
moving
review.
Along.
I love the rehearsals.
We have a review of another beer they make. But
yeah, and it's a pretty good beer too.
It's a good beer. We hadn't had it, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's damn good.
Now the Jefferson's Reserve. I had this before on when I was visiting the Good Beer Shop, and that was one that they had at. The Herat and their other, I forget the other place we were at, but great stuff. And man, I just love a bourbon barrel stout. And I know it's something that some people do not like, but I think everybody here, y'all care for it. That was real good.
Oh yeah. I enjoyed it.
So
I really did.
All right. So our beer that we actually do have stats on and that we are drinking, and it does have a cork, is one of our last nominees. We already mentioned it on the last show, but we're drinking it tonight, a Unibrew 16. This is the 16th anniversary beer, and Mike is going
to
pop the cork.
Ready?
Yeah.
Ooh.
We got corkage.
Your cork was a lot more satisfying than mine.
My cork's bigger than your cork.
You know, we were trying to figure out this what the alcohol was, and we still don't know, but it's definitely a big beer. I can feel it warming all
the
way down.
Oh, yeah, on the Moxie.
The Moxie.
Yeah. Well, this one we have no doubt. The Unibrew.
Nice head,
and
dude.
It's got a Martin in his pouring style got 6 inches of head and 1 inch of beer. And I think I'm not far behind. This is one of those you got to get it right out of the gate. Some giant head coming off of this thing. It's a big beer. It's a 10%er.
That's pretty tasty.
And it has a 96 on rate beer. Not that we care.
And it's nice and effervescent.
It's super effervescent. A Belgian strong beer. Should be served in a Trappist glass, tulip, or tumbler.
Wait till you taste this.
Mike's got the tulip. I've got a tumbler. And this is it's got a little bit of cloudiness to it, and it's kind of a golden caramely color. Giant head. It laces a little on the tumbler, and God, the head on it is just immense. And it is as effervescent and as crazy. A lot of fine little bubbles. So what do you think, Mike? What are you getting?
I love it. I think it's a very good flavor.
Got a fruity smell.
Yeah, it's pretty complex.
It doesn't have any description other than celebrating our 16th anniversary. Extra strong beer on Lee's. So naturally, or bottle fermented, finished. It's got that spice notes in the back of it.
It's a little, just only one negative that I see. It's a little effervescent.
Super effervescent. Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that's a part of the Belgian style, Mike.
Yeah.
It's supposed
these
to be
guys,
very small, fine bubbles.
And Unibrew, that's kind of their trademark. Everything they do is just super effervescent. Yeah, this is
they probably have sediment in the bottle, right?
Yeah, I think we wiggled it around enough to get it dispersed through the beer, but it's a good drinking beer. It's got spice, not overwhelming spice, but it's just kind of there and flavorful. And there's something else, maybe like a little pear notes or some kind of fruit, citric.
I don't know if it's my glass, but I got kind of like a little metallic taste to it.
Maybe like on the finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know what you're talking about. It's not metallic to me. I've had it happen with other beers. That, I think, is the taste that I'm getting, that it could go, depending on your taste buds.
Maybe the alcohol.
Twang a little. Yeah, I'm not getting any burn, though.
I'm getting a little tiny burn, but I'm getting a little metallic aftertaste.
Okay. So it's going to go down, of course, different on different people. But, man, I'm liking it. It's tasty.
It's probably over 10% alcohol.
And it's probably going to get us hammered. I dare say.
Yeah, 10% alcohol.
So
no depression for me today.
No, I'm pretty sure we can ward off depression despite our musical guest tonight. And this guy, okay, you know I've been trying to play Memphis artists, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy is not a Memphis artist. He's actually from Arkansas.
What are you looking at me for?
Because you know you're a semi-Arkansan. Oh, you like Arkansas.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got good Razorbacks. I'll take a fork.
You know you like Arkansas, and the guy's name is Little Johnny Taylor. If that sounds familiar, it's because we played the hell out of Johnny Taylor, who is from Memphis, who recorded Stax. Not the same guy. And to add to the confusion,
is he related?
Nah, not at all.
Okay.
Just the same name.
Uh-huh.
But just to add to the confusion, he sang the same song as Johnny Taylor did.
Yeah. Do you think maybe there's a coincidence going on?
Yeah, you think?
Have they ever played in the same band?
No, you know, I looked into that, and he's passed. He passed in 2002. He had a long career. But let me play you a little Johnny Taylor.
I'm gonna find me, Lord, I've got to find me a part-time love. I've got to find me, I've got to find me a part-time love. The next time my baby leaves me, I just got to have me a part-time love. There's one more thing I want to tell you right here. People in the cemetery, they're not all alone. Some turn to dust and some have bone. I'd rather be dead 6 feet in my grave than to live lonely each and every day. She came home this morning. I asked her, where had she been? She said, don't ask me no question, Daddy, because I'll be leaving again. That's why I got to find me, Lord, I've got to find me a part-time love. The next time my baby leave me, oh, can't you see I got to have me a part-time love? And one more thing I want to say right here. Every time my baby leave me, I have to suffer the whole time she's gone.
What was that song about?
I don't know. What was it talking about?
It was something.
Love. I don't know.
I will tell you this. That is your typical blues wail.
That was reaching down into the most desperate parts and bringing it up.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Well, tell us.
You're talking about some part-time love.
Some of that part-time monkey love.
Monkey love. That hot monkey love. but only part-time, because full-time will kill you.
You're damn right.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you.
I might have an answer.
Love involves flinging poo?
Yeah.
All you PETA people, don't call.
The PETA. People eating tasty animals.
I missed that episode of National Geographic.
All right, so we were talking offline. Here's the deal. Part-Time Love, recorded by Little Johnny Taylor, later covered by Memphian Johnny Taylor, but it was later. And we were listening to a little taste of his. It's different.
And which one's dead?
Actually, both are now dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They all dead. I ain't one of them live. So,
well, the first Johnny Taylor, he threw in some organ.
You know? No, that was the second. Had him some. A little Johnny Taylor was more a guitar, and Martin was thinking he was hearing some of that steel topped guitar, that ting 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 ting. Yeah. Yeah. And Big Johnny Taylor, who just went by Johnny Taylor, had the keyboards, the stack sound going in the back, which is very cool.
Did you play any of that for our listeners?
Yeah, we play some. Here you go. Hang on. Let me find it. Here, ad lib while I look.
Well, since all these guys are dying and dying, you were saying offline too about blues dying out. Do you think maybe this is just the...
No, not blues. No, hell no. Blues will never die. It's the blues people. But you got all new people.
Yeah, there's new people coming on all the time.
Speaking of dead people, I did a little research on our friend James Brown, and he's been temporarily buried back in March.
Okay, yeah, because we had that discussion. Okay.
So, but he's still dead.
Is he still buried? Yes. He's still dead and
still
buried.
I think he's still buried. Temporarily
buried, yes. Okay, all right, here you go. See if you can hear this.
You know, there's a Led Zeppelin song that has a very similar lead in.
Big Johnny. But you can call me Johnny. People in the cemetery.
Like James Brown.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's temporarily dead, too.
Very cool. Okay. So that was Johnny Taylor. So that's where all that came from. Enough of that. We're still...
Unibrew 16 is having its way with me now.
I notice you're gripping that bottle. Hell, there's nothing but sediment left. Damn. Okay.
Well, I brought plenty of dental floss.
Oh, God. He's lost his L's. He's going down.
Wait, when I lose my L's, does that make me Japanese?
Okay.
The Unibrew claims another victim.
Okay.
No, wait, hey, I've already, 16, this thing tastes like it's 12.
I have already been accused in my work life of disliking Asians. I do not know where in the hell that came because I didn't pay somebody enough attention, and I will let the Asian members of my family attest to the fact. Okay, the only Asians I don't like are those within my family. So,
do you have any in your family?
Actually, I do.
All right.
A number of them.
Okay, you 3 billion Chinese, don't call us.
Well, yeah, they got one phone. It takes forever. It's on a pole. So, okay, we're kind of changing order a little bit because we got a lot of stuff to do, and we're just letting the big beers have its way. We've got big beers and big beer news, so let's get to it. Beer news.
It's time for Big Foamy Head Beer Witness News, the latest breaking, hop-hitting, no-holds-barred coverage of the malt and barley world. Sit back, crack a cold one, and get ready for...
Beer, it's your best friend, you drink a lot of it.
Beer News!
Okay, well, I have several news releases that have gone on this week. I've been busy researching beer for Big Foamy Head and the Beer News segment. Wednesday, Avery had a release party for their new World Porter. That's a robust porter with Columbus and Fuggles hops. It's got two row barley, Munich, chocolate, black, caramel, and 120 Lovibond malts. Mm. Alcohol by volume, 6.7%. IBUs, 45. Color, black. Mm. Traditional black porter with surprise twist. It's dry hopped. They expanded the porter category a bit by delightful dry hop aroma, to blend with the sweet caramel and chocolate characteristics of a robust porter. Now, here's the thing. At the counter, when I went to the release party, they listed it as a black IPA, which...
Cool.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would categorize it. It wasn't really a porter. Black it didn't IPA. Have the roastiness that you'd expect or the malty characteristics of a porter.
Did you taste roast?
Not as much as I would have liked. It was... we've had black IPAs
yes,
before.
Yes, we have, yeah.
And I've been racking my brain trying to remember the name of it, but... of course, it was Stone's 11th anniversary.
Yeah, the 11th anniversary was a black IPA.
Okay. This was very similar to that. Okay, but every time I go to Avery, you know, they're releasing one thing, but I taste something else that really just strikes me. And this time it was the Uberschwein. Three guesses of what Uberschwein is.
The big pig. The over pig.
No, that's Schwarzenegger's assistant, isn't it?
Uberschwein. Yeah, Beth Uberschwein.
Yeah. That's her personal assistant.
Or Madonna Uberschwein.
You're going to have to fill us in, Rick.
It was very close. It was the Hog Heaven barley wine that was dry hopped.
Oh, wow. Mm.
That stuff was fantastic.
That sounds like Schwarzenegger's assistant.
Dry humped. That's so odd.
Mike,
now
you've been
that
warned against thinking, haven't you?
Yeah. You're still thinking about that part-time monkey love.
Monkey love.
All right. So that's not all the fun I've had. Friday, Boulder Beer Company had a release party also. Mojo Rising, the double IPA, souped-up extreme version of the Mojo India Pale Ale. And it takes the Mojo IPA to the next level. They add 50% more malt and twice the amount of Amarillo hops. The dry hop addition elevates the grapefruit-like aroma. Yada, yada. Anyway, 10% alcohol by volume. Wonderful, wonderful beer. The only places you can get it right now are at the Boulder Beer Company and at the Big Beer Festival. Because they haven't figured out quite how they're going to do the four-bottle packaging. And while I was there, they had another little treat. That was the Obo Void Empirical Stout on Nitro. And I think Obo Void is probably distributed, and they say they're not going to brew another batch until the next president is in office. So that'll be February next year. Anyway, things to look forward to. That's the good news.
Hey, Rick, I got a quick question for you on the on that four bottle pack that you were talking about.
Yes.
Is that something that by law they have to do?
No, but I've not, the higher priced beers like your Dogfish Head 90 and Skull Splitter and things like that are, you know, people don't want to pay as much as they would have to pay for a whole six pack.
Well, yeah.
So it's kind of a marketing thing.
Yeah, I was going to say
it's
marketing.
Price point.
Yeah, they're trying to hit a price point.
Plus, they don't want people breaking six packs.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, that's good stuff, man. Real good news.
That's the good news. I heard there's some bad news.
Well, yeah. I got online and was looking around, and I went to Modern Drunkard Magazine, one of my new favorite websites. And it's moderndrunkardmagazine.com for all you internet geeks out there.
Is that close to the Wild College Women porn site?
It's right next door, yeah.
Okay. It's a cousin of Piss Bum Drunk magazine.com.
And they had
call that one not safe for work, okay?
No.
If your boss comes in and says, I see you've been browsing Modern Drunkard.
Unfortunately, I look at that at work. It's one of my favorite websites, too.
And that's why he's currently unemployed and working at home.
Yeah. Okay, so enough levity. Mike, bring us down.
But anyway, down in the land of kangaroos and alligators in Australia, it says here shots and bombs of alcohol will be banned from clubs and pubs in New South Wales, second biggest city. The Newcastle Council announced that straight nips of tequila, vodka, and other spirits would no longer be served in late-night venues in the city. Bomb beverages where shots of high-alcohol spirits are dropped into a glass of beer or Red Bull have also been outlawed. Newcastle Liquor Accord member Raleigh DeWitt admitted the drastic move would probably upset drinkers. Huh, you think?
Yeah,
hello.
No shit.
Sure, the vast majority act and drink responsibly, and they behave, but there's always the minority who screw it up for the majority. He said, by the way, of explaining his fascistic attitude.
Oh, they said they called him a fascist.
Well, sure did. I think we ought to boycott that town.
That's right.
Yeah, I won't drink a damn thing there as long as I live.
For the next month? No, hell, 2 months. I'm not going to drink anything if I happen to be in New South Wales or wherever it is.
Well, listen to this little last sentence here. Newcastle Council Community Partnerships Manager Melissa Dial, eager to prove she's a certifiable idiot, said the ban was to ensure people ordered drinks for taste rather than effect.
Oh, God. I love the taste of whatever it is in my shot glass.
I see that George Orwell's 1984 is coming around just a few years late.
You just don't see that, though, in Australia. I mean, they're, a country full of happy, crazy drunks.
Yeah, it's the most atheistic country in the world.
But on the other hand, we've had many reports of how things are just going to hell in a handbasket in Australia, and they're having to, I guess the party's gone on too long. You know how it is. It's like it's starting to turn ugly.
Yeah, it is.
And with the kids drinking and all that, so it's time to back it up.
Make just dial
it down.
When your country was a penal colony,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everything's a step up from there, right?
Well, we're gonna have to get our man on the ground, Joe Galea, to file a report.
Yeah.
Give us the insider scoop.
Well, here's one thing I want him to follow up on first, and it's Aussie stores urged to stop selling delicious Listerine.
Yeah.
Now, who would have thunk that, huh?
Well, when you drop that in the beer, it just really, they're going for effect and not quality.
It makes it healthy, too. Yeah. You're antiseptic, killing germs. And
actually, that's Red Bull. I mean, just think about
it. Yeah.
Think about it.
Okay,
Red Bull and
delicious. Now, I've got two segues off of the speaking of antiseptic. Uh-huh. This is not.
So we're not New South Wales, Australia.
This does kill germs, but this is, and it's a Left Hand Brewing Company double IPA. This is a big beer, too. 9.6% bottle condition, bottled in 2006. So we have us a nice little offering here from Left Hand Brewing Company.
Do they know what the right hand is doing?
No, tell her. There is no right hand brewing
one
company.
One thing I like about that antiseptic, it's not topical. It's internal.
That's right. You must ingest this antiseptic for it to work. And you got me thinking about that, Rick. This is one of the ones because you were talking about the double IPA from Mojo Rosin. So we're going to have ours, and here it comes. There it is. Okay.
Nice. Happy New Year.
There.
Party on, Garth.
So we're popping this, and again, speaking of antiseptic, we've received yet another award to go in the trophy room, and this was a very prestigious award. And Rick got the notification in the mail. He has responded asking when we're going to get the actual hardware. This is very cool. And I guess, should we just play the tape of when they called out that we had won?
I just want to preface it, but I couldn't be prouder.
Oh, absolutely.
To win and to accept this. Yeah, let's play it.
This is, and so here it is. Here's where we were all, wringing our hands wondering, was it going to happen? Was it going to happen? And it did, so here it is.
Your fourth and final nominee for Douche of the Year is every other beer podcast out there. For Douche of the Year.
Yeah.
For all of the copying and pretending that that we didn't start this whole thing and make it badass.
That's right.
Every other podcast out there.
Yeah, Biscuit, what do you think of that?
Oh,
very good, Biscuit.
And the winner, and they should wear it proudly as a badge of honor, of the 2007 Brewing Network Awards Douche of the Year. Pausing for a dramatic effect.
Okay.
Very dramatic.
Is every other beer-related podcast out there?
Yeah!
Well done, well done.
Thank you. And I'd like to congratulate all of you for being the Douche of the Year. Fantastic.
I know they worked hard at it.
Week after week, or at least once a month, or whatever it is you guys do. You all work hard at being douches of the year. And I congratulate you.
Okay, so Martin's got a little teary-eyed.
I can't believe how they called us out. I mean, that's incredible that they called us by name. Did you guys actually go to the award show and walk down the aisle and everything?
We weren't. No, we missed getting the invitation, and I was kind of sad because I would have, you know, I had my light blue broad lapel tuxedo with the matching real floral fluffy shirt to go
with
it. You
got that blue cummerbund?
The cummerbund. Hell yeah, man. That's stylish. You got to have the cummerbund.
That explains why you've got all those carpenters up there working their ass off to increase the size of the award room.
That's it. Because this is a big award. Yes, sir.
Dick, I think the nipple slip up there when you were accepting the award was kind of inappropriate.
That was intentional. I'm looking for media coverage. But I did get to, they cut me off, though. Before I could do the acceptance speech, so
you were doing the "Mothers Ruled the World" thing.
It's similar to that. I have my prepared speech in front.
Well, I think it's fantastic that you know, Time Magazine made me Man of the Year, right?
That's right. That was in 2006. We were all Man of the Year.
And now I'm Douchebag of the Year.
That's right.
Could be happier.
I think you're just working your way up.
I bet your mothers are so proud.
They are.
All right, Dick, let's hear your speech.
Okay. Okay. On behalf of all the men and sometimes women who appear on all the other podcasts out there, I'd like to accept this award of Douchebag of the Year. It's indeed an honor to be recognized as a highly effective weapon against the wretched skank and shit that comes out of those podcasts not recognized by this award. Those podcasts that infect and fester the ears of listeners worldwide, wasting their time with ineffective reviews, trite remarks, and just lame-ass production. In fact, I'd suggest that we, the Douchebags, are more than just a death-dealing band of podcasts. We are true representatives of the American way, a ragtag bunch of freedom fighters who labor in the trenches of audio and video, driving back the forces of Big Beer in a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and something drinkable.
Amen.
As our forefather, Jeffrey T. Meyer of the Good Beer Show, the oldest beer cast in the United States, reminds us about beer. It's a gift from God. Drink it.
Hallelujah.
We aren't an army. We are the stealth fighters, the ground pounders, the strategic strike teams that lurk in the jungle and terrorize those that can only mock us because they realize what weak little vaginas they really are.
Tell it, brother.
Welcome to our jungle, beersafari.com. God bless America, bitches. And that's pretty much all I got to say.
Well, Dick, you really need to work on letting your feelings out. You keep it all bottled up.
I didn't want to over-dramatize it, though.
Really?
You know, just a simple thanks and off the stage. And so that was it.
Oh, okay.
So, it was touching and heartfelt.
It was. I thought simple is better.
Yeah. Yeah. Less is more.
Because it's supposed to be, and this is what, as I understand it, Rick, and because all of the guys at the forum, all the beer podcasters are really excited because are these not like gold-plated Summer's Eve boxes? That we're supposed to get. I know Jeffrey T. had put up a picture of one. Maybe he's got one before, but I'm really excited to get this. And as you were so proud having received the news, when you were at the festival, you had to go up to the Brewing Network, the people who sponsor the Douchebag of the Year. And
right. So I saw a guy wearing a Beer Nation Army T-shirt. And had to go talk to him.
Absolutely, and just kind of get some insight from the people that make up the Beer Army from the Brewing Nation. Just kind of get their insights on it. And so let's give a listen.
All right, this is Rick. I'm with Big Foamy Head. We are at the Colorado Big Beer, Barley Wine, and Belgian Beer Festival. And I've got some Brewing Network Army guys here. So. Glad to meet you guys. What did you think of the festival? I want your honest and personal opinion. What was your favorite beer?
Introduce yourself.
My name is Matthew Burton. I'm also a board member of the Liquid Poets in Fort
Liquid
Collins.
Poets, very nice.
Yes. So I don't have a login on the being Army, but I'm more of a lurker.
You're wearing the shirt.
Yeah, I bought it at the GABF.
Justin has awarded us with Douchebag of the Year Award, so... I'm very proud of that. How do you feel about that?
I could see myself as being a douchebag. Yeah, it's fine. I'm cool with that.
I want to nominate him also as a douchebag. I think he's totally going to be a great candidate for a Douchebag of the Year.
Not Justin, this guy.
Yeah, I think Matthew.
I would say I'm not asshole, but douchebag. I'm not sure what that means, but...
I'm a douchebag. I've been nominated.
Well, you know, more they were the Liquid Poets out of Fort Collins, so it's actually a pretty cool homebrew club.
Yeah.
This guy just happened to buy a shirt.
He had a shirt. So we've been talking about the interview. Nice. The guys were there, good guys, and obviously they themselves are proud to be douchebags and possibly assholes. But congratulations and proud of it, as they should be. And so, like we were talking about, I can't even get their name right. I said Beer Nation, it's Brewing Network, and
the beer's guys, having its way with
the
you.
Guys. Nah, it's not just the beer. Hell, no, you could ask me. You could have asked me anyway. I wouldn't know.
Well, the Unibrew 16 and the Left Hand Brewing Company Twin Sisters has had its way with you.
Well, we're just starting on the Twin Sisters, so I'm
down with my Twin Sisters. I'm ready for the third.
Well, I'm waiting. I'm about to get into my Twin Sisters Double IPA here from Left Hand Brewing. Got some stats on it. Finishing up here with our what they call again? Beer Network?
Yeah, the Network of Beer.
The Network of Beer, one of them guys.
Yeah.
That have obviously no life at all and sit around just chittering about beer and have live call-in shows. So
kind of like us.
No, not at all like us, Martin. We have jobs, wives, homes, families, basically all the staples that makes life great.
Hey, I sit around and drink beer and take a live call-in show.
Yeah, that's right. You might be a candidate for if you do that, you might be a candidate for the Beer Network, Brewing Network, whoever the hell they are, whatever their damn name
those guys.
But I thought that was I love hearing that the people who copy us.
Who's and copying what? Right.
And we went didn't
we steal
we, and,
all their-
and Rick, we went back and looked, and those. Guys, they went on the air long enough back, you know, credit to them for actually staying alive and obviously pimping out some T-shirts to people who could give a shit whether they listen to their show or not. But they're not, they haven't been around as long, right?
I mean, no, they're claiming to have released some MP3s prior to the whole iTunes thing. What I really count is when did you get onto iTunes?
That's right.
Because that's when your podcast really started as a podcast. I mean,
that's
you could record
is.
MP3s for 100 years before that, but before iTunes, what was the point of having a podcast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. Because it did not go into... I mean, if we wanted to be real technical about it, some dumbass who recorded something and posted it as a downloadable file in 1995, there you go. There's your first one.
There's your son.
Yeah. Oh, Weird Al.
All right, they've gotten all the free publicity they're going to get from us.
Yeah, that's it. Fuck on Feed 'em Fish Head.
I want to say that I'm continuing to enjoy my Moxie Sour Ale, and I'm guessing that this is probably, 60% barley wine or a strong ale mixed with maybe 40% or less of a sour ale.
Well, we are enjoying our Left Hand Brewing Company Double IPA. Also known as an Imperial IPA. And the commercial description says, thanks for purchasing another offering in our series of Big Mo beers. For as long as people have inhabited Colorado's Front Range, the Twin Sisters have had a strong impact on Colorado residents. The views from atop the 11,428-foot peaks are breathtaking and afford sweeping views of the entirety of Rocky Mountain National Park. As an expression of admiration, they have crafted an ale that exhibits a profound impact all its own. There it is. At 11,428 IBUs, just kidding. Twin Sisters is a mountainous testament to hops and that they bring. What? To hops and that they bring. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did you say national?
Yes, I did.
He did.
Is that okay?
I did that on
National Park.
I did that on purpose.
He's as jober as a sedge.
A feeling of ease and relaxation becomes apparent for all whom would dare to climb it. Are they talking about climbing this beer or climbing the mountain?
I'm going to climb the Twin Sisters.
One of the more. Who wouldn't? So, for all that enjoy summiting ales with some of that monkey love, and with copious hops additions to achieve a feeling of contentment and awe, we offer Twin Sisters Double IPA. Man, it's just like they...
I want a job writing beer descriptions.
Yeah.
That.
Well, you speak better than a $20 whore.
I can look up, I can use a thesaurus, you know.
And, I can.
Well, I want you to know that I've been drinking this, and the hops are there, but they're not, it's not killing me.
I agree. This is a very nice middle of the road IPA.
Yes, it's tasty.
Except it's whipping your ass, and you don't know
tasty. It goes down easy. It doesn't have the hop bomb approach.
It's got a nice hop and fresh,
9.6% alcohol. Yeah. So it's like you said, it's kicking your ass. You don't know it.
But it's a very smooth, refreshing, hop perfect balance.
Yes, I mean this.
We're liking this.
I like this better than the Unibrew.
I'm liking this as. I would hate to say an everyday drinker because I'd be unemployed in short order.
You'd be broke, too.
I'd be broke, too. Yeah, you're right. This is a $14 bottle here, and I got it on sale. Oh, man. Well, it's rating-wise, we don't care.
Well,
it's got a better rating here. I'll say this: it's higher than one and lower than the other.
Yeah. Well, it's got a nice caramel color. I steal effervescence. I've got sediment in my glass.
Don't brag about it.
Yeah. Well, mine. I don't. It's not okay. I can see through mine. It's effervescent. The head's kind of dissipating a little bit.
Oh, mine's cloudy.
Yours is cloudy too. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's got a tiny bit of murk, but it's not like dark. And, it's kind of a caramel, a little gold, more gold in
mine.
It's
got a nice sweet smell to it. It's got nice lacing when one had to have it.
I'm not getting a whole lot of hop, like, you know, the floral or pine whiff. There's not a lot of nose to it. And I guess it's because with an Imperial and a double IPA, you got to jack the malt up like crazy to carry the IBUs. Of course, I thought that was real cute. I'm say 11,000 IBUs. So we don't know what the IBUs are. But, good stuff. Left Hand has been kind of a ping pong brewery from me. I've pretty much either loved or hated what they had to offer. And
they're pretty famous for the milk stout.
Absolutely. Milk stout, one of my favorites. Delicious milk stouts. And this is, this is good stuff. This is something we'll never see in this town. It's just too high alcohol. And I don't know what they serve it in, but man, this is some good stuff. Left Hand Brewing Company. Twin Sisters.
Can you get this at Flying Saucer?
Who knows? I don't know. I bought this somewhere. I was on the road. I smuggled it back to the airports. Don't tell.
So, don't ask.
All right. So let's hear another little Johnny Taylor, and we'll be right back.
But one whole long year I stayed home, both day and night, 'cause I smell a trouble. Lord, I smell trouble up ahead of me. But oh, I smell bad luck and trouble. They just won't let little Johnny Taylor be. Oh! People talk about me both night and day. I said, Lord, if you please forgive them and go some other way, 'cause I smell a trouble. Lord, I smell trouble ahead of me. But oh, I smell bad luck and trouble. Honey,
they just won't let little Johnny Taylor be. And from now on, I will not try to run and hide. I face trouble with a smile. Pass me by, cause I smell a trouble, baby. Lord, I smell trouble ahead of me. But oh, I smell bad luck and trouble. Honey, they just won't let me.
Okay, what was little Johnny smelling?
He's trouble.
He was smelling trouble. Well, Dick, I have to say that you have touched my heart again. You have brought out one of my favorite beers.
I kept my hands to myself. Right here. Mike, you're my witness.
We are starting off this segment with one of my favorite beers of all times.
Yep.
The Black Chocolate Stout from Brooklyn Brewery.
And there's a reason why. Because that, as well as the Unibrew 16... were the finalists in the Sexiest Beer of the Year Awards.
Oh, tell us all about that.
We've got to... This is what's sad. We thought we'd announce the winner. Evidently, we didn't.
That's what a barley wine show will do to you.
That was a good barley wine.
Yeah.
Now, we did. We voted in the most democratic fashion available. We
50-50 coin toss.
We flipped a coin. Wait, Mike's gesturing.
He's doing monkey love. Wait,
something about insert a thumb.
What's that right
what?
There?
Where? What? Thumbs up?
I was trying to distract you so I could grab your beer.
Oh. I got another one in there for you. That's what I was telling you.
Mm. Okay, that is one of my favorite beers of all time.
That's how
look
good
at that.
It
look
is.
Look at the color on that.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. You will do the look, a baby deer. To still
look a wolf, a baby wolf.
The Brooklyn Black Chocolate Stout. So we had a lot of good beers nominated. Rick, you were saying we need a recap.
Yes.
And the first one out of the gate, when we were first discussing this, you jumped up and said Orval. Because that holds a special place. It warms a cockle or two in your heart, right?
Well, tell me what a cockle is.
It's a little valve hanging off the heart.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And it gets warmed every now and then.
I'm sorry, Rick. I stepped all over you.
I said in further discussions, I really meant a Chimay Blue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I was being an idiot.
Well, okay then. So,
and that Chimay Blue is very, very good.
It is, and all the Chimay.
It's a wonderful beer.
So we had from dual nominations from Rick, both Orval and Chimay Blue. And I submitted the one we're enjoying here, that Martin and I, the beer that makes you say, ooh, the Black Chocolate Stout from Brooklyn Brewery.
It's 10.6% alcohol by volume.
How much?
10.6%.
Hell yeah.
And it warms a cockle or two.
10.6%.
Yeah, it'll warm about three or four cockles if you're not careful.
Hey, it's like 33 degrees outside, and I feel warm.
You might burn a cockle.
And if you've ever burned a cockle, you know how painful that can be.
Yeah, it could cause you to limp.
Well, the smell is what's really bad.
Oh, it's oh, man. So, and we had a lot more. Our buddy Phil from My Life as a Foodie and Dude Night sent in his nomination, which you heard, the Russian River Damnation. We got a nomination from our pal Sick Puppy. It Should I Drink That? He nominated the, I can't even say it, the Chinese beer from
Dogfish Head.
From Dogfish Head, the Jizhu. God.
The Shih Tzu?
Shih Tzu. Yes, the Shih Tzu beer. Yeah. A little piece of Shih Tzu in every bottle. Now,
it's like a fuzzy dog.
No, I mock it, but we know it's got to be good. I wish I'd try. I've tried it. So, yeah, a Sick Puppy nominated that.
Let me break in here. It's got the sexiest label.
Oh, it has. Oh, yeah, the Asian chick in the boudoir.
The tattoo of the beer on the backside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very good looking.
Good point.
A tramp stamp?
Yes,
it is.
Oh, boy.
And the next beer from his cohort, his partner in crime, Father Spoon, nominated Golden Monkey.
Boy, those are all tough.
Which we all had.
Yep.
And we've made it our mission to try almost every one of these beers. So the Golden Monkey, a very intoxicating brew, lots of spices. Then we had a nomination from Jeffrey T., the Good Beer Show. He suggested the Unibrew Kelka Shows. And the Kelka Shows is one we had a while back. It is a very warming, sensual beer. It's one of the few beers that you could actually heat and serve. It is made from fermented cherries, cinnamons. It's a very, very good beer. Sick Puppy was talking about this is the beer he pulls out when he wants to push his date through the fence. Yeah. The Kelka Shows is one of them beers. You can push your date through the fence on this one. And our buddy Chud from the Beer Report weighed in with a dual nomination. The Goose Island, was it Matilda?
Rick? I think so.
Yes,
Matilda.
And the other one, which we just enjoyed, the Unibrew 16. Right?
Very good beer.
And did I leave anything out? I think I covered
that's
them.
That's all the ones I remember.
Okay, and so we sampled as many of these as we could. We've had some of these before.
I want to thank everybody that submitted because I know it takes a lot of time for you to record these segments. And
the originality, all of them were really top notch.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these are ones nobody screwed around. They thought about this. Nobody did a half-assed PBR or something. No. They were thinking,
yeah, Beer Nation, take that.
These are, yeah, Beer Nation, whoever you are, this fictitious podcast. But so we, whoever they are,
can you say that on a podcast?
Yeah, well, they don't exist, so yeah. Everybody though did they anteed up and they put it in, and this is kind of cool to see everybody saying what the sexiest beer, because this kind of holds them. It's like, is it sexy to you or for you, right? Mm-hmm. And so like Jeffrey T, he's thinking of something that he would serve Miss Vicky and kind of heat up a beer and set mm-hmm. the tone. And others thought, oh well, here is a beer that's just special to me. Mm-hmm. And it just really just man. You know,
either like that, or you just wanted to push your date through the fence. You know?
Yeah, but I know, like what we were looking at it and enjoying this lovely black chocolate stout. It's sexy to us. I mean, we're just drinking this beer, thinking, "Oh man, this is mm-hmm.
If this was a woman, I'd marry it."
Or at least not I, have I, any problem paying alimony.
Well, I'd father the children, pay the alimony. You know.
Just so it would, as long as she would let you just tap it every once in a while.
Just savor it.
It's a good beer.
Just even think about it.
So after a lot of consideration, and we could do Special Olympic rules where everyone's a winner, but we're not. So we got to announce, and by the most...
You mean none of those words of mine are real?
By the most scientific method known to man, we have...
Wait. Yes? I have to say that everybody that did win or submitted an entry is also a douchebag.
Yeah, they are. That's right. 100. That's right. It was an across the board 100% douchebag certified beers. Everyone was a douchebag who submitted it. So yeah, kudos to all of you douchebags. And after a lot of scientific research, weighing the evidence, doing a lot of usability, polling people and stuff, we resorted to the most scientific method known to man. We flipped a coin.
Oh, I thought who paid us.
Nah, we flipped a coin. Oh, nobody. Okay. They're cheap bastards.
We had some bribes come in, but we sent them back.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Because the check would bounce. It's in pesos.
So they're part of the douchebag army? Is that what you're saying? So
we are the douchebag. The DA. Yeah.
The DA. Okay. Everyone.
That's good.
You are here first.
Okay, well then, I think we all need...
Army.
I think we need to put all of our applicators at attention and get a proper...
right.
Hey, Dave, go out to Cafe Press and put up some shirts tonight. Douchebag.
Yeah. But hold your applicators at your ready. It's a douchebag on a field of crossed applicators.
Yes.
The sexiest beer of the year is, drum roll please, the Russian River Damnation, submitted by our dear friend Phil from My Life as a Foodie and Dude Night. So, in Russian River Damnation.
Here.
Yes.
Cheers.
Excellent.
You're a douchebag of the year.
That's right. Yeah, you too are a douchebag. Phil's he's a dual douchebag, though.
Yes.
He's got two podcasts.
Yeah.
He's twice a douchebag most of us are.
So he wins.
He wins. But an excellent choice, the Russian River Damnation, and it's finished in, I believe, some white oak barrels, and it's just a lovely beer. And in case you didn't hear the soft porn intro that Phil did, here it is for one quick listen.
Hey, this is Phil from My Life as a Foodie. My nomination for Sexiest Beer Alive is Damnation from Russian River Brewing, and here's why. First of all, it smells really good, like a soft bed of flowers, but one you know not to lay down in because it's got thorns. Dangerous. Secondly, it looks gorgeous. Clear and lightly golden, with a rich, thick, frothy, big foamy head. And a Belgian lace that runs down the glass like a pair of white thigh-high stockings falling off her legs.
Oh.
Then, as you put her in your mouth, she explodes.
Oh, yeah, baby.
With flavor, of course. Rich fruit. Juicy fruit. Juicy, juicy fruit.
I want to see you swallow it all down.
Oh, she's a naughty little girl. And when I'm done, I open another one. That's my nomination for Sexiest Beer Alive, Damnation Golden Ale from Russian River Brewing.
Okay, do me. I ain't making the gurgle.
Yeah, it'll gurgle. I was scared I was going to overflow it.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Fill it to the brim with rim.
And
but the nice thing is, being a member of the Douchebag Army, we can help her out.
That's right. And I mean, Martin, this is like kind of the founding fathers, that moment when they realized that liberty and freedom was a good idea.
Uh-huh.
You have lit the spark that will set afire a nation, beer connoisseurs. And not by beer connoisseurs, I don't mean pretentious assholes who give out pseudo awards.
Like us?
I mean people who like a good beer. The end.
Yeah.
We like a good beer. We may not know all the words. We may not be the most descriptive, but we know what we like and always looking for something a little better. Like this next beer that, by God, we've just jumped on.
Mm.
The Schlafly Reserve Imperial Stout. That was their backup big beer. And I gave Mike the choice. I said, okay, we got this small beer that we just enjoyed a little, kind of our reminiscence of the black chocolate stout, or we've got the big bottle of the Schlafly, our buddies down the road in the belly of the beast in St. Louis.
Up the road.
Well, you know, this would be a great lead-in to our next segment, which would be the haiku.
That's right, because this is a cultured beer, a classy beer, a smooth-talking, slow walking, delicious beer. So Rick is going to, he's really kind of reached down. He's addressing his more literary.
Just cue the goddamn music.
So no, not yet. So you guys have spent your wad and then you're digging into the beer fridge for what, the reserves now?
No. This was one that we were okay. It's not a reserve. It's called a reserve. Schlafly Reserve. When I say we were going for the reserve, I didn't mean some backup POS. I mean, it's called Schlafly Reserve.
I know, but this isn't a beer you plan to do this show. Right?
Actually, it is.
Oh,
but
it is.
But we didn't know if we were going to get to it because of the high alcohol. All right, Mike, what are we drinking here?
Well, let me tell you. Dick said go to the beer fridge, and why don't you pop that top on the black
Brooklyn
chocolate stout, or if you want to, do the Schlafly Reserve. So I looked at it. And the black chocolate stout wasn't but a 12-ounce bottle.
Right.
And this was a 750 milliliter. So, you know,
well, what is
common
it,
sense.
What is its AV, alcohol by volume?
Common sense prevailed, and I mean, this is 10.5% alcohol. Yeah,
this is 10.6.
That's right. So, but we got more of that.
But there's a hell of a lot more in this bottle than that bottle.
So this is a big beer. It was one we had intended to do, but we were just kind of weighing whether we had it on reserve in that. Man, if the beer
it's
was going to have our way.
Bottle. So you guys just going to pee at the urine trough?
No, what we did was we listened to the previous audio to make sure we sounded lucid and clear.
Oh, okay.
And we didn't. So we sound like we've been drinking. So we said, ah, screw it. We're toast anyway. Let's drink.
Yeah, hey, Rick, what do you think about that? Are you toast too?
I'm
well,
toasty
I
with a little.
Well, I finished my Moxie, and I moved on to my wee heavy homebrew that I have.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tell us about that.
You scuttled off to get your homebrew. You told me you put us on pause. So how's that wee heavy doing?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a little sweet. I'd like to check the gravity. It may have come out a little too high. But the note to it, you just get a lot of malty, chocolatey feeling or smell coming out of it. And you know, wee heavies are not supposed to be very hoppy. So it was very low hopped and on the sweeter side. Speaking of which, I had a Heather ale this weekend at the Big Beer Festival.
Really?
I thought that was interesting.
Like made with Heather?
Yeah, instead of hops.
How is she?
The Scottish, you know, they weren't into this whole hop thing because they were kind of rebelling against the British. So they were using all sorts of substitutes for bittering, and Heather was one of those herbs.
Hmm. And how did that, so, how do you...
That's the first time I ever tried that.
Because we had a...
I wouldn't go out of my way.
No. What was it? We had a spruce beer or something where people had gotten some kind of weird needles or something. You know, I mean, you know, good luck to you.
Yeah, but I necessarily wouldn't go out of my way for a Heather beer.
Well, Rick, do you think that could be just because that was a bad attempt at one? Or, I mean, are there
no,
other...
No, I think it was probably what it tastes like. I mean, actually, one of the things I want to buy you guys and ship is a box of classic Scottish ales, and
ooh,
you know they aren't hopped. Not all of them are hopped. They have different types of bittering herbs. So I think that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And we've got some actually on a show coming up. We've got some Scottish ales. So I think that's something that we need to step up on. I pulled up the beer that we're drinking, the Schlafly Reserve Imperial Stout. Beer advocates gone to this. I don't know whether they heard us or somebody said, hey, what's with the numbers? They've gone to an alpha rating system. It's got an A-, which is an excellent. The Schlafly Reserve Imperial Stout, St. Louis. This is a 10.5% alcohol Imperial Stout, and it is stout aged in bourbon barrels, and it has a... definite bourbon.
Man, if you like bourbon, you will like this beer.
Mm. But it's not like a... okay, the one we had, we started off the show, the Jefferson Reserve, the Bluegrass Brewing Company. A little less bourbon, but still smooth.
Mm-hmm.
This has got a little, I think, a little more pronounced bourbon, but still not like a flavoring. It's part of the beer. It's very, 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 very tasty. It says, we age this Imperial Stout in bourbon barrels, which contribute caramel and oak flavors to balance the roasty maltiness of the stout. This 2007 vintage will age well in a cool, dark place for several years, but is ready to enjoy now.
You try that.
It's ready to enjoy on your pants.
That was funny.
Nice crotch shot.
Thank you. And the money shot there.
You know, that was really wild. I pointed at Martin and I was kind of trying to whisper to him, you need to try that. And by that time, you knocked the bottle over in his lap.
I know.
Ooh, that felt good.
It got
for
like
a second.
Like two or three drops.
Oh, that, was funny.
Martin looked like he's just set on fire. This is full contact podcasting. We don't hold anybody.
All right, you guys. Quit abusing alcohol. I've fired up the disco ball, and I got the spotlight shining on it.
So okay. Well, the Schlafly, that was
the
up.
Music.
All right, here it is. Cue in the music.
The Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater presents Beer Haiku Celebrator. Further down the road, what was once overwhelming now sustains my soul. Beer Haiku. Beer Haiku Daily with my Captain Hops.
Yes. I don't know where all that liquid came from. Didn't come out of the bottle.
It came out of his pants.
Yeah. I sure hope I'm not stopped by Collierville's Finest on the way home.
That's exactly
are
what
you
I
happy
was
to see
Martin.
Me, or is that Schlafly on your pants?
I smell beer.
Well, I'm wearing it.
No, with
you
that,
smell a very good beer.
With that Schlafly on his pants, he'll smell like bourbon.
Oh, yeah. Mmm. Good stuff.
That's Rick, what she said.
That Rick, was so funny.
It's Rick, like I promise you, this just, it's almost like you threw a shot of Maker's Mark in your beer.
Oh, it's
in
a
your
smooth,
beer.
Didn't we
do this a couple of weeks ago?
No.
We did the barley wine.
Yeah, we did the Schlafly barley wine. The reserve, from their reserve series. Yeah. Good stuff.
Well, all I hear is you guys abusing alcohol.
No, it fell over. It hit the microphone. That's what you heard. And then Martin jumped and just a tiny little bit sloshed out.
We may be abusing alcohol, but we're not abusing monkey love.
That's right.
The bottle was attempting to make sweet monkey love to Martin.
Hot monkey love.
Okay. And before we wrap this up, we got to address the offline topic. We have to.
Britney Spears?
No.
No.
Your allegation.
Jamie Lynn Spears.
Your allegation. You know what it was.
Oh, the Duke. No, let's not even go there.
I got to.
That's slinging hood.
Like they said in Dirty Harry, I got to know.
All right. In Mike's world, where he fantasizes a lot, he thinks, what is it you think, Mike?
Well, you know, and I know it's going to be blasphemy to say this, but
it is.
But
it's wrong.
The death watch begins now.
I've heard people say that John Wayne was gay, and I mean, they've got some proof. And
I think you're bluffing.
Yeah, you pulled up a picture that is a little off-putting, and
makes you wonder.
He's wearing some hot pants.
Things that make you go, you know.
But this started because Martin.
Mike, this sounds like to me that you have a little of an obsession.
No, I don't have an obsession at all.
John Wayne,
you know, just
John Wayne
has
been the man's man. But to your point, I mean, everybody thought Rock Hudson was a man's man.
Man.
He turned out to be a fudge packer. I believe is a politically correct term.
You mean the driver of the Hershey Highway?
That's the one.
A trucker on the Hershey Highway? Are you telling me Rock Hudson was a trucker on the Hershey Highway?
That's what we all know now. But I still like Rock Hudson.
I think we're just defaming one of America's heroes, and
but John Wayne.
Wrong. It's
come
a
on,
thing to do.
Come on. I was watching Rio Bravo yesterday. I mean, that's like one of my all-time favorite movies. Him and Dean Martin and a young James Caan. I mean, that's come on.
Yeah, I used to watch Rock Hudson, you know, get all the girls, but
my John favorite Wayne. Movie is still In Harm's Way by Otto Preminger. With John Wayne.
All right. Okay.
Wasn't Rock Hudson in that too?
No. You mean Rock the Cock?
Oh, man. Now, John Wayne, he's the shit. Come on.
He is. He was a good actor, and, you know.
He was an inspiration.
You know, a lot of people, and going on to that, a lot of people said his acting was so-so. It was his charisma and his presence.
I agree with that. He wasn't that great an actor, but he was just a guy. I mean, he just carried himself, and his charisma and his presence just kind of carried through.
Yeah, I mean, even from his very first movie he was in, he stole his scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that personality type is very hard to come by.
It's kind of like Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, really.
He wasn't that good of an actor, but he had the charisma.
Well, then you say the same thing about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, because, God, he was just a god-awful actor. I mean, he's just
sucks
ass.
People felt sorry for him.
Oh, I don't know, though.
Well, for breaking news.
Yes, sir.
Guys, for breaking news, I've heard that Liberace was actually straight.
What? No way.
In Mike's world, maybe.
It's in the web. It's on the web. Go check it out.
Yeah, so if I read it on the internet, it's got to be true.
That's right. Now, he's got this revealing picture of the Duke wearing some questionable crotch-hugging hot
pants. And it's not Photoshopped.
No, he's got
it probably is Photoshopped.
But then I've got to think, back in the early days, in the 70s, we wore some shit that, I mean, damn,
you know, the little short shorts and the cut off midriff things. Yeah.
I still do.
Oh, I know you did.
Yeah, look at the NBA footage.
When you go to J-Wags.
The Celtics, the Lakers, all those guys, they were wearing the really short shorts.
All right, so that's a very burning question. What's your opinions on John Wayne? Is he or isn't he? I got to say no. And
I have to agree with you.
Mike's got some pretty damning evidence there that would make you think twice. And I just what, you know what? This is one of those times when I'd rather believe in the legend.
There you go.
And leave it at that. You got to have faith, if nothing else.
Sometimes you have to, as with all heads of state, take it for what it's worth and accept it and then move forward.
That's right. Just believe.
So he was gay.
Well, no.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, not at all. That's right. I have no problem. Believe me, I have absolutely no problem. If somebody wants to choose that lifestyle, good luck to you.
Yeah. And Mike's gay friends, please don't call the show.
I got a bunch of gay friends.
No, and honestly, I do. I know a lot of gay folk, and they're fine. Nothing wrong with them. Same as you and me, except
they're color coordinated.
They like the back door instead of the front
door. They're color coordinated.
You know, when we went
they dress better than us. They have better hair. They work out more. They eat right. Why is it we're down on gay people?
Rick, Dick and I went into a place last night called The Cove.
We
took our wives out and we had a great time. It's a bar in
Midtown or pseudo the fringes of Midtown.
Yeah, the fringes of Midtown.
It's actually, we were saying, oh shit, we better lock the doors.
Yeah.
We're getting into the hood.
And where was my invite?
But
are you still recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Is this part of the show, really?
Yes.
Yeah, it does. It segues around.
But we saw a lot of Lebanese people there last night. Yeah.
And that was code name.
Yeah, that's code name.
By Lebanese, he's referring to women who are of the gayer persuasion.
Yeah.
Boulder's full of them.
Are they real?
Yeah.
But you know, again,
well,
though,
I got the same from Boulder.
Again, though, I personally encourage that behavior.
I do, too. I have one inside of me.
I myself am a lesbian.
I have one deep inside of me.
Beg your pardon? You are a closet lesbian?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I
think you should let it out.
And I come out on occasion.
Good for you.
Yes, I do.
You should come out more. We applaud you being a lesbian. Yep. We're here. We're your support network. We'll support you being a lesbian.
Are we going to do an intervention now?
Nah, this is good. We're welcome him. We do not judge. We do not condescend. Now, seriously, though, I really, you know, that's one of those things is a choice. Good luck to you with it, whatever your choice is. Like everything else, shit. You could choose to be a bus driver and it'd be a far worse choice.
Well, not that there's nothing wrong with bus drivers.
Nothing wrong with bus drivers. You choose that lifestyle.
You just slammed
we'll
my
respect
whole family.
It.
My whole family just got slammed.
Do you come from a family of bus drivers? You're sheep?
No, I come from a family of women who do marry bus drivers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Share.
I don't want to share.
Come on, Stedman. Open up.
I'm sorry. We all had the picture of the Duke right next to the president.
We're gonna have to pick this back up on the next show. This is too good. We're going to bring
this
back up.
I'm kind of hoping you cut all of this out.
No.
Everything from beer haiku on.
This is the 10% talking.
That's right. This is what big beers do.
Well, this is what douchebags do.
That's right. Hey, we're all members of the douchebag army, by God.
Amen, bro.
Ken Hutt. Hoorah.
And the captain is, of course, John Wayne.
That's right. Hey, say out of the douchebag army, by God.
Hoorah.
All right. Well, let's call it a show. One that's up before somebody comes and raids this house. Oh, God. Good beers. Going down the list, what we had, Moxie, the Jefferson Reserve Bourbon Barrel Stout from Bluegrass Brewing Company. We had the Unibrew 16. We had the Left Hand Twin Sisters Double IPA. The Brooklyn Brewery Black Chocolate Stout. Rick was enjoying a wee heavy And we finished with the Schlafly Reserve Imperial Stout aged in bourbon cask.
Kick ass.
What do y'all think?
I am floating in alcohol.
Amen, brother.
Pretty much sums it up. What was your beer du jour?
I think my favorite is the...
Schlafly.
I'm sorry, Dick. The black chocolate stout, I cannot walk away from.
Okay, that's still... You're still its bitch. Okay, good.
And how about you, Rick?
I want to thank the fine people at New Holland Brewery for sending along the Moxie. New Holland obviously has the Dragon Cup, which is one of the best beers out there. So kudos to them. They have Mad Hatter also, a wonderful IPA. So appreciate everything they do.
And I got to say that the beers that I've had tonight, the stout, I'm going with the Schlafly. That was working on once. That and the left hand, the double, the Twin Sisters, IPA.
I would have to say Twin Sisters is my second favorite.
Refreshing, wonderful. And the Unibrew, though, honestly, was a very tasty Belgian. So we had a bunch of different styles. The big beers have had its way with us. Put a cork in it. We're done. See you next time.
Go Packers. Drive safe.
Come back to see us.
Take care.
Cats were on the loose. Started